You're listening to a podcast of the Steve Malzberg Show from 710 WOR HD, New York. For more information, please visit WOR710.com.
Been Eric Cantor.
Steve, you do a great job on your program. Continued steadfast in your fight.
I couldn't make this up. You couldn't make this up.
You're killing me today.
Could you believe this stuff?
I'm telling you.
Absolutely love your show. So glad you're getting the message out.
Spread the word.
Take it away, Steve!
All right, folks, I am going to spread the word indeed. Welcome to the Steve Malzberg Show. Thrilled to have you aboard. And sit back and listen, because you're not going to hear this anywhere else. Most talk shows, conservative talk show hosts, you know, aren't going to touch stuff like this. But we do, and that's what makes this show different. In the previous hour, we talked about the Somali terrorists, the kids being taken or voluntarily going from Somalia, from Minnesota, going to Somalia and training with terrorist groups, and what's going on in the mosques in Minneapolis, possibly. But you're not going to hear that anywhere else. But right now, we're joined by W. Michael King. He's the author of Atheists Can Get to Heaven, Prospects from the Journey Beyond the Tunnel of Life. And we're talking, first of all, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do I call you Michael?
Yes, please.
Okay. We'll ignore the W. Now, you, first of all, we're going to discuss, but we're going to get off on a tangent after you give us your unbelievable story here, is whether Barack Obama should be speaking at Notre Dame. Because of the differences in the beliefs of Barack Obama and the Catholic University. Having said that, I believe that you experienced some horrific things. One I can never imagine, and no one should ever go through it, and that is the death of a child. You've also experienced a divorce, and you've also thought of suicide. Plus, you had you were clinically dead. So why don't you just, you know, in the next couple of minutes, go through that and tell us to where it has led you. Religiously speaking?
Well, what I learned through my process of my journey, which means all of the things you've just discussed, and then the expansion of that, which includes clinical death, two of them actually, what I basically learned was that humanity, and this leads into your Notre Dame story, by the way, is humanity is fraught with what I call blind beliefs in my book, Atheists Can Get to Heaven. And if you look at the blind beliefs, it is this human tendency born of optimism and the need for hope that humanity will put their faith into those undeserving of that faith. And it's easy to find examples. I mean, look at Bernie Madoff, right? Investors had blind beliefs that he would increase their wealth. They ignored facts that 25% returns were not reasonable. Atheists are trapped in a blind belief that's religious-like in the sense that they feel that their existence itself will end at organic death. Many religions are trapped in a blind belief that spiritual continuance beyond the body requires a service to a god or the son of God to save them. Certain faith followers, and I don't mean this in the normal sense of Western faith, will extinguish themselves because of blind beliefs, that strapping on plastic explosive and blowing themselves up into pink mist and slaughtering others will take them to heaven and their God. And then the media, the politicians, are locked in blind beliefs about global warming, promoted by an aging politician, that are threatening sometimes draconian measures to halt it, even though the data to support the hypothesis is either seriously in error by as much as 600%.
Well, I'm with you on that
point. So the point I'm trying to make is it's all about blind beliefs.
But let me stop you right there. Well, maybe I shouldn't, but I mean, I wanted to hear if you wanted to give more details of your story. But how do you know? How do you know that what you describe as blind beliefs when it comes to people believing that they have to worship and commit to a god or in order for the spirituality afterlife to continue? So how do you know that that's a blind belief? How do you know that that's not true?
Well, because my own experience beyond the tunnel of light.
Well, you mean being clinically dead twice?
Right.
Okay. Well, explain that. What happened? Under what circumstances? And what did you experience?
Well, the first clinical death happened when I was pretty young. I was about 16 years old, and there was a motorcycle accident. And then much later, the second clinical death, which was in 1994, it took me 10 years to get up the courage to write the book on my dad, was due to a massive hemorrhage. I basically bled to death. And most people report going through the tunnel of light or into the tunnel of light where or hovering above the their bodies in the ER. And I decided that the tunnel of light was something of a trap. I decided that the process beyond the tunnel of light had to be, that life beyond the tunnel of light or existence beyond the tunnel of light had to be more than just that warm, comfortable, enveloping zone. So I decided to push myself beyond that boundary. And what I discovered was the possibility of traveling.
You pushed yourself beyond the boundary when you were clinically dead?
Yes, of the tunnel of light.
Both times at 16 and later in life?
No, not both times.
Okay, the second time.
The second.
Is
the
that
first,
because
the
you
first time was kind of
so
like a training zone?
Well, okay, that's what I was going to say. Is it you did it the second time, or you weren't able to do it the second time because of what you experienced the first time?
Well, I was more mature, more prepared. I was 50-something years old at the time.
All right, so you die, you rise above yourself, and you saw yourself in the ER. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if you want the line item sequence, if you want to take the time to do that.
Well, now I don't have a lot of time, but I'm just saying. So you saw, and then you decided to push your spirit through the tunnel of light?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
The first stage was clinical death, fade to black, emerge from black, see self in ER, migrate into tunnel of light, so to speak, or realm of light, better said, and then decide that that's a boundary and needed to be pushed through.
And where did you push?
You mean into the boundary?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you push in the boundary, and the boundary, in my case, shattered and became kind of a stream of velocity, so to speak, that propel me into experiences in interstellar space immediately. To meet others. It was like, how can I describe this easily? Like taking a ride as a spiritual being, stopping, meeting others, learning something, moving on, stopping, having a new experience, meeting others, like that.
And how long were you clinically dead for the second time?
I really don't know.
Well, the doctors didn't tell you?
Well, I never asked the question. The experience started around 2 p.m., ended around when they finally stabilized me. It was about 7 p.m.
All right. So let's, and we're talking, by the way, to W. Michael King, his book, Atheists Can Get to Heaven, here on the Steve Malzberg Show. And I booked this because of your views on Obama at Notre Dame. And then as I looked more, it became more and more fascinating. But see, I don't understand why you mock in a sense, and you say that these experiences you described took you away from what, as you put it, churchianity and God, to accepting what you call full responsibility for your own life using reason rather than belief in faith or in a savior. But
that's not mocking anything. That is simply saying what my experience has been. It's not a disbelief in anyone else's experience. I'm only reporting my experience.
Okay, well, if that's only your experience, so taking it back now to Barack Obama, and the question of, you say that everybody should be, as you alluded to in the beginning of the interview, everybody should be exposed to as much as possible the varying views, the differing points of views, and I'll maintain that when it comes to Barack Obama speaking at Notre Dame, a man who is the most pro, or should I say anti-life, pro-abortion president we've ever had in our history, and is threatening to become even more anti-life, why should he be invited to speak at a Catholic university, which is the antithesis in its beliefs, at least the church is, of what Barack Obama believes? It's not as if we don't get a chance to hear the opposing point of view, or the people at Notre Dame don't get a chance to hear it. Why should the honored speaker be a man who is diametrically opposed to everything that the Catholic University stands for?
Well, not only do I think it's the antithesis of the belief system, I think it's an insult to Catholics, and beyond that, I think it's supreme hypocrisy on the part of Notre Dame.
Oh, so you agree he shouldn't speak there?
I agree that he should not speak there because I think it's hypocrisy.
But that's not. But I okay. See, and I thought.
But that's not the point.
But yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, but that's not the point. The first point is, yes, we should be exposed to other points of view, certainly. But at the same time, we are exposed to the point of view that people strap on plastic explosives and blow themselves up in the pink mist. We're exposed to that. That doesn't mean anybody's going to do it. And in the case of Obama, who I think is ethically challenged anyway, Obama voted as senator of Illinois twice in support of partial birth abortion.
No, I'm with not only partial birth abortion.
That's heinous.
He voted not to protect a baby born of a botched abortion, which is even worse than that. So we do agree on this. Then.
Yes, we do.
And although it was presented to me that that you believed that people should be exposed to all different points of view, regardless of religion or politics, and what's wrong with hearing Obama speak at Notre Dame, but I guess I misunderstood that. But still, in all, you tell a fascinating story, and I like your views on Obama and global warming. So there you go. So people want to read more, they could buy the book "Atheists Can Get to Heaven" by W. Michael King. And I'm sure there's a lot on religion and spirituality that we disagree on. But thanks for coming on and sharing with us, sir.
You're entirely welcome. There is a website under that same title.
Sure, go ahead. Oh, okay. Atheists Can Get to Heaven. Okay.
.com.
Thank
right.
you very much. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
All right, folks. When we come back, very interesting. I was under the premise was wrong, but I'm so glad we did the interview because fascinating story. Can't imagine what he's gone through. Anyway, when we come back, Aaron Katursky of ABC News and Barack Obama, all his friends, Iran, they're plotting with a Chinese guy to get nuclear weapons, Russia and China, they won't let North Korea be punished at the UN. But these are all Barack Obama's friends. I just don't understand how this is possible. This isn't George Bush's America. This is Barack Obama. They told him they were his friends at the G20. And now they're doing all this? Doesn't make sense. We'll come back and talk about the plot that was thwarted by our Manhattan District Attorney's Office here in New York City, right here on the Steve Malzberg Show.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Steve Malzberg Show from 710 WOR HD, New York. For more information, please visit WOR710.com.